Thank you, everyone, for coming. And what our purpose today is to give you an overview of the grant opportunities that are available this year through the Office of Engagement Initiatives, and to provide a very, very brief introduction to Engage Cornell for anybody who isn't yet familiar with it. So that's the first bit. I'm just going to describe what the goal of what the goal of Engage Cornell is. The goal is to renew and expand Cornell's founding commitment to knowledge with a public purpose. So most all of you are aware, I'm sure, that public engagement has been a part of Cornell's mission since its founding. We are the land-grant institution for the state of New York, and extending our knowledge beyond the borders of the campus has been a part of our ethos from the very beginning. Engage Cornell is maybe the modern manifestation of that original mission, and it has the additional goal of placing students in that community-engaged setting that we embrace through our public engagement mission. And so the core of the initiative is innovation in teaching and learning through shared practices that connect students, faculty, and curricula with communities and the public realm across the globe. And a very critical feature to this effort is the reciprocity of benefit that accrues to the community partners we join with, and the benefit that is accrued by our students and our faculty and our staff who all participate in this work. So that's a very brief summary of the goal of Engage Cornell. The scope and scale of Engage Cornell, as we are describing it now, is very broad, very large. We aim to include any student studying any subject in community engaged learning and research. All colleges and schools, so the professional schools, the graduate school, the undergraduate schools, are included. And we define community very, very broadly. So community may be a group of individuals who have a shared interest. A community may be defined by geography. It could be a community in Ithaca. It could be a community in upstate New York. It could be a community that's somewhere in the United States or internationally. Communities can be basically anywhere you find them. They can be communities of interest in terms of children under the age of 5 would be a community. Veterans would be a community. The business community is a community for us. So we embrace a very broad definition of community, and that really is intended to open opportunity to everyone on campus, regardless of the discipline that or the type of work that the individual does. So we have three strategic areas. One is student and faculty engagement. The second is impactful partnerships, and this is a specific focus of the work of the Office of Engagement Initiatives, because this reciprocal relationship between the community partner and Cornell is critical to the success of what we want to achieve. And then finally, we are we are a Research One university that is, a Research One university that has an opportunity to put its imprimatur on community engagement in a way that maybe is unique. And so we want to see community engagement through the lens of Cornell University. And we want to share what we learn here with other campuses and very broadly across higher education. So those are our very large aspirational goals. And so I'm going to give an overview of the 2016-2017 programs, the grants and awards. I'm going to mention student leadership development, and then I'll mention support and networking at the end. So we have a number of grant opportunities this year. We have two more than we did last year. And last year, I think we had 5 more than we had the year before. So this has been a big part of our effort in the Office of Engagement Initiatives over the last 12 months, is to build up and build out these grants programs, because really our goal is to support the work in community engagement that goes on across the campus. It's not what we do in the office. We are a group of facilitators trying to help everyone on Cornell's campus and the community partners they work with to do the work. So, big long list of grant opportunities, and I'm going to go through them pretty briefly, but hopefully to give you I'll be able to give you enough of an idea of what each of them is about. And I'm going to start with the grants that are available to faculty. Some of these are available to academic staff and faculty and team. Some are available to tenure track faculty and academic staff, regardless of title. I'll try to touch on those things as we go along. So the first opportunity here is the one that we've... Yes, certainly.
Because before, when Gage was talking about grants, faculty for grants, they were referring to professors, tenure.
Yes.
They were not referring to faculty.
Academic staff. Yep.
And now you are including them.
Yes. So I'll explain. It depends on which grant we're talking about. This is the first one is a curriculum grant. And this eligibility for this grant, because it is intended to support the development of curricula, it requires a team of faculty members who are responsible for that curriculum. And it has to be comprised 50% of tenure track or tenured faculty. So the rest of the team can be configured, and they have been configured in all different ways, but we have really emphasized the involvement of the professoriate in the development of curricula. So that's the eligibility piece. The purpose is to create or expand or strengthen community engaged curricula. So you could use one of these grants to develop a new curriculum that incorporated community engagement into that curriculum, or you can apply for funds that will allow you to improve something that already exists. So you don't have to be creating something new. You can have a course or a curriculum that already exists that you want to put community engagement in. Maybe community engagement is already in your curriculum and you want to do something different with it. You can get a grant to do that. We're really encouraging people to think about modifying their existing community-engaged curricula and asking for support to do that. It's been a little bit, that aspect of this funding mechanism has been a little bit undersubscribed so far. So the funding ranges quite a bit. $10,000 for a planning grant. That's if you have an idea for a curriculum, but you don't have a community partner. Maybe you have a community partner, but you don't have a really good idea yet. This gives you enough resources maybe to develop those ideas over the course of a year. And then the next opportunity is called a development grant. That's a maximum funding level of $80,000 for 1 year. It is renewable. And that really, at the end of having a development grant, you should be ready to roll out a curriculum. So you're not expected to deliver it in the course that you have the development grant. Really, these grants are meant to support the work that you need to do to get a curriculum off the ground. But at the end of a development grant, it should be ready to go. And then the last category is the advancement grant. This is the one that I mentioned before. So if you already have a community engaged curriculum and you want to do something to improve it, you can apply for an advancement grant and get support to do that. There's a list of evaluation criteria here that you can read about. All of this information, by the way, is on the website, so you can, and all of those announcements have gone up now, so you can read about all of this on the website. The important bit is down here on the bottom, probably for a lot of people. There is a letter of intent that is required if you're applying for funding for the first time. If you've never applied for a curriculum grant before, you need to submit a letter of intent. And what this does is it helps us, first of all, to know what different faculty groups are thinking about, but it also gives us an opportunity to give you a little feedback about your idea and help you to get it sometimes a little bit more aligned with the granting mechanism. So we can be helpful to you. It's not a screening process. We don't discourage anybody during the letter of intent phase. We're just trying to help a little bit at the beginnings to make sure that everybody's well aligned with the granting mechanism, and they don't spend a huge amount of time putting together a proposal that's not targeted at the granting mechanism. And then the full proposal deadline is March 29th, and the earliest start date for these grants is in July. So that's the curriculum grant. These are the largest single awards that we make. Introducing community-engaged learning into curricula is probably our biggest focus in the Office of Engagement Initiatives, so we've put a lot of resources in this direction. The response to this call in the previous 2 years has just been fabulous. Faculty teams have come through with really imaginative ideas. It's been just thrilling, really, to see what kinds of work and teaching and learning the different departments and majors and minors have thought about. It's a blast. Yes.
I've heard that departments are limited in how many proposals they can submit for these. Is that true? Unfounded rumor.
No, it's not unfounded. So really, we do have a goal to distribute the funds as broadly as possible. And I would say that if the same department were to submit 2 grants in 1 year for curriculum, it would be unlikely that they would both get funded. So we really encourage at the department level for sure, even at the college level, to have a conversation so that everybody knows what might be under development, so that we don't get duplication, because we don't want to be the ones to decide that, right? The college or the department should be deciding what your biggest priority is, rather than have us decide that this proposal is slightly stronger than that one. That really should be hopefully something that will be sorted out at the level of the department. Other questions?
Just to state the obvious or ask an obvious question, so if your department has an engaged curriculum grant, there are still other mechanisms that you could apply for within the same department?
Yes, that's true. I'm just talking about curriculum here. Yep. Okay. So the next one is called the Undergraduate Engaged Research Grant Mechanism. Again, this is a grant that's applied. The applicants are faculty members or academic staff in titles that are appropriate for research. So if you're an active researcher, you have an active research program, it doesn't matter whether you're in the professoriate or not. You can apply for one of these grants. So the eligibility is researchers and scholars with established community-engaged research or scholarship. And this qualifier, established, is kind of important in this context. So this is an opportunity for people who are doing research to bring undergraduates into the research that they're doing. And for those of us who have been in research for a long time, most of us know that a brand new research project that you're just trying to launch for the very first time is perhaps not the best environment for an undergraduate student to be in while they're just learning how to do research and scholarship for the first time. So we're really targeting groups that are established in community-engaged research here. There's no definition of what the maturity of the research program has to be. It just has to be up and running, think of it that way. And what we're trying to do is provide opportunities for undergraduate students to learn how to do community engaged research. Very simple. $25,000 maximum for a program for 1 year. We really encourage, focusing a little bit here on scale. So the idea is, for those of you who come out of a federal funding environment where you're familiar with training grants, it's a little bit like a training grant mechanism where we want cohorts of students to come into these research programs and either work as teams or work together on the research opportunity so that there's a cluster of undergraduate students working with any group of faculty. So it's not the sort of one-on-one tutorial relationship that we sometimes have in teaching and scholarship and research. It's meant to be a group of students coming in to do the research. And there's possibility for renewal for an additional year, but any one research program will be limited to $40,000 in total funding over 2 years. Again, there are evaluation criteria that are listed here. The submission deadline is January 18th, and the earliest start date is April 3rd. This is intentionally set to occur fairly, well, it's perhaps not early enough in the spring semester, so that if you're thinking about a research opportunity for students in the summer, you'll know that you have the funding by the beginning of April. So, questions about undergraduate research?
Before you have to have, it was related like your course, the community engagement had to be embedded in the course.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be happen that aside your course, you do a lot of engage research.
Yes.
If you have applied research.
Yes.
So, but that does not qualify you to apply.
For?
Because it has to be embedded in your class. Or this is different.
This is different. This is different. This is your research life. This is bringing students into your community-engaged research activity. So this doesn't have to be attached to a curriculum. It doesn't have to be attached to a course, even. It is very similar in the ways that probably many of you bring undergraduate students in to work with you already. The idea, though, is that we want you to bring in cohorts of students. Not just in the way that I've done it over the years, which is I bring them in sort of one at a time, one undergraduate at a time. In this case, I would be bringing in 3, 4, 5 students, and I'd be working with a collaborator, another research collaborator, 1 or 2 in a team around this project. Yep, so this is not necessarily curriculum linked. Basil.
Just a point of clarification, although the earliest start date is in fact April 3rd, notifications go out in the middle of March.
Okay, so.
It takes a few weeks to get the budget.
Yep, yep. So you'll know that's better, right? So if you're thinking about something over the summer, then you'll have more notice. Yeah, that's good, sorry. Okay, another question about undergraduate research. Gerard, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just had a, it's not a question so much as I was wondering what would happen because very often in humanities, some of the research intensive sort of work that could be attached to a community sort of partnership are the 4,000 level courses where sometimes they are graduate students as well. You know, so I was just wondering about the mix, even though it says undergraduate, it shouldn't be a hindrance to, you know, to have a course at that level, you know, which would have, you know, graduates involved perhaps in the research too. I don't.
So we haven't had a proposal yet where somebody came in with a course in mind. This has mostly been independent study kind of research that people have proposed so far. But certainly if there was a course that mixed graduate students and undergraduates in a research activity, I think that would be fine. Yeah. As long as the funding is directed at the undergraduates. That's maybe the sticky bit.
Yeah, because I'm also thinking that sometimes it's good, you know, sort of mentoring for the graduates as they're working with undergraduates.
Oh, sure.
It's an opportunity.
Other questions or comments? Okay. What's next? So this is a new one, Engaged Research Grants for Faculty. Now you have to sort of mind shift again. This is a different mechanism with the purpose of incentivizing faculty inquiry into interactions between community engagement and a variety of issues relevant to educators and to society. So now this is asking researchers and scholars to propose studies that they would do. I'll take that as the first example. Studies that they would do that are relevant to the goals of Engaged Cornell, of student learning, community engagement, reciprocity of benefit, impacts of community engagement on choices that students make. That would be an example of a question that somebody might ask that would be very relevant to the goals of Engaged Cornell. So this is really a research grant that would be awarded to a researcher or scholar, and this can be faculty or academic staff, any field of study And it's a straight research grant. So it's $60,000 maximum for a year. That would be for support for a research proposal, straight research proposal. Or if, as a researcher, you find that there is some infrastructural need that is lacking. You want to do research, but there's a database that you can't connect to, or some access that you need that you don't have. You could propose to get support to establish an infrastructure that would allow the research to be done. And that, too, would have a $60,000 cap on it. If you're in the very early stages of thinking about this kind of research, these kinds of research questions, and you'd like to get together with a few colleagues, maybe some people you know, maybe some people you don't know, who have expertise in areas that would be relevant to this question, and convene an informal meeting or series of meetings, seminars, however you would like to think about that, you can get up to $2,000 to support that. So we want to fuel the thought process here and support people who are really in the very early stages of thinking about this kind of research with these small grants. And again, the evaluation criteria are pretty straightforward, standard kind of research scholarship proposal. Be clear about the goals and your specific aims. Make sure that they're relevant to community-engaged learning and research in the Cornell environment. I'll say again that this is another opportunity that we have to put the imprimatur of Cornell University on the research that comes out of this big initiative that we call Engaged Cornell. There are all kinds of research questions you could ask about what we're trying to do here by putting students into community-engaged learning settings. But Cornell is uniquely positioned to ask only certain questions. And we want to support that. We want to see what Cornell faculty will come up with in terms of interesting questions that relate to the goals of Engaged Cornell. So again, the merit of the proposal, the feasibility, innovation, all of that will be of interest in the review process. And the submission deadline for this application now is February 1. Notice will be sometime in March. And the earliest start date is in April. So questions about that one? This mechanism, I should say, came out of a few meetings that Becky Sosfus and I had with members of the Institute for Social Sciences. And they were brainstorming about questions that would be relevant to the goals of Engaged Cornell. And then we started to talk about mechanisms. And this is almost a stream of consciousness from that group of faculty about how we might support that interest. Again, any discipline, any field of study. OK. This is the other new application or opportunity this year that's called the Engaged Opportunity Grants. And again, this was developed this past year in response to requests that we've had from staff and faculty on campus that they have ideas about things that they would like to try. They're not necessarily big curricular ideas yet for an $80,000 application. They're kind of small ideas that need development. And so we created this opportunity grant model to allow for creating, expanding, and strengthening opportunities for faculty and staff to develop, administer, or participate in community-engaged initiatives. So faculty and staff working in community engagement can apply. It's a $5,000 maximum award. And there are sort of three different areas that we've thought about. Now, I imagine once the call goes live and we start seeing applications come in, we're going to have some things we didn't expect, which is great. But three sort of general areas are proposals that would support travel to a conference where you would present community-engaged work. So if you have something that you're trying to move to publication, something that you want to present at a national conference, we'll provide some resources to support your travel to that conference. If you are a staff member or a faculty member working in the area of student leadership, so I haven't talked about it yet, but I will in a minute. There is an initiative that's part of this overall portfolio that is focused on student leadership. And it is a little bit of a consortium of leadership opportunities that already exist on campus, and there are a lot of staff and faculty involved in all of those leadership activities, from athletics to music to various academic pursuits. And this is a way for those units that are already operational and have been in place for a while to get some resources to help their own programs in connection to this leadership initiative. And then the third one, Basil, I'm forgetting the third one.
It's other.
Other. That's right. So that's where we're expecting to see some very interesting ideas. So this is when you just have an idea and you think you want to try to develop something, make a proposal. This is sort of make your case, and we'll see if we can get you some money. So it's a shorter application process than the big curriculum grants. It's a much smaller award, but it's meant to be much more agile for us to get money to people who are trying to develop ideas or get to a meeting or something like that. So there are actually three different deadlines during the year so that we can turn these over pretty quickly. And the first one is October 27th, which is barely a month from now. So this one's meant to nucleate further thought and give people a chance to test out ideas or go to that meeting or connect with the leadership program. Questions about that? Okay. This is the Engaged Scholar Prize. So we awarded this prize for the first time last year. And there'll be a call for the Engaged Scholar Prize again this year. There's a nomination deadline of February 28th. This is an opportunity to recognize accomplishment by a faculty member in community engaged teaching, learning, and research. And you can self-nominate or you can nominate a colleague. We accept all kinds of nominations. It's a $30,000 prize that will allow that faculty member to further expand and strengthen their community engaged partnership activities. There is an expectation that the individual will make a public presentation on campus. The first prize last year was awarded to Bruce Levitt, who is is a director in theater and works with a group called the Phoenix Players at Auburn Correctional Facility. Drama and helps them put together a play every year, and it's amazing work. And he will be giving a talk at the end of this month on October 28th at a reception that we'll have for grant recipients. I encourage you all to attend. I'm sure it's going to be fascinating. And so we'll have another award of an Engaged Scholar Prize this year. We look forward to seeing those nominations. And the deadline, as I said, is February, and then the announcements in April. Engaged Faculty Fellowship. So this is actually a program that's been in place longer than any of the other ones. So Engaged Learning and Research had faculty fellowships a few years ago. And this is intended to give a faculty member the opportunity, and this is faculty tenure track and academic staff, an opportunity to enhance their capacity in teaching and research that is community engaged. So this is a cohort approach, so that there are about a dozen faculty fellows this year. They come from all different disciplines all across campus, and oftentimes in very different stages of their development as community engaged teachers and researchers. So it's a very interesting group of people to be in a mix. And There's programming that's provided to help everyone learn about community engagement. Maybe the greatest benefit is mixing with this cohort and getting to know what their work is and learning from others. There's an application process for this. The call will be out in the spring, and then the fellowships go August to May. So we have a cohort that's in place right now, and we'll have another one next year. And there's a $2,000 fellowship award to support the activity for each fellow. Yes, Pilar.
I was just thinking, it would be nice to know what they're doing.
Yes.
So do you have something in your web that the paragraph or so, a page for each one that says, I did this, I did that?
So we have, I don't know whether it's up for this year, but the previous year fellows have had just exactly that information, who they are, where they come from, what their work is. I'm not sure about where that stands right now, Basil.
We just had a story in the Chronicle about the latest class of 12 that's highlighted on the website. I don't know how much information we give about their particular projects, but we do include their contact information on the website. So, you know, there are different levels, so some didn't want to publicize everything that they're working on, but their names and their focal areas are all listed on the website.
So a little bit of information.
For some faculty, this notion of engage is very new. And they said, how do I engage? How
right.
Here? In my room. So that's why I was thinking, I just thought on that.
Yep. No, that's a great question. There are two staff members who facilitate the work of the faculty fellows. They're Anna Bartel and Amanda Whitman. And they would be happy to talk with you in your room or outside of your room about community engagement and tell you, and they because they work so closely with the fellows, they could give you an idea of what the scope of the projects is. I'm just not facile with, I know some of them, but I don't know enough to be able to describe it well. Okay, so now we move to students. So this grant you can only apply for if you're a graduate student, a PhD student. And the idea of the Engaged Graduate Student grants is to support graduate students doing research that is community engaged. So if you're a graduate student and you're thinking about introducing community engagement into your research, you could get a grant to support that activity. If you already have community engagement as part of your thesis research, you can get support to do that thesis research. The project that's proposed has to be directly relevant to the thesis research. So you should be thinking in terms of a chapter for my thesis when you apply for one of these grants. We have a cohort right now of 9 students who were awarded last year. We just had a meeting with them last week. It was just wonderful. A variety of disciplines, lots of different types of research. It was really fascinating. And they've already started to interact with one another separately from us. Like, they did this over the summer all on their own once they met one another, and they started this conversation amongst the group of them. So we're facilitating additional learning opportunities for them if they want them. So this was presented to them as an option. What questions do you have that maybe would be useful for you to discuss as a group? Maybe we could bring somebody in who might be able to give a brief talk and facilitate a discussion around an issue. We'll be doing that for them, but it really is kind of up to them what they want. They could have said, no thanks, we're good. We've met you this fall, we'll see you again in the spring. Those are the two obligations. But they didn't say that. They've been interacting a lot, as I said, with one another, and they're going to have about 3 sessions during the year on different topics that are of shared interest to them. So that award is $15,000 maximum per student for 1 year. This is not renewable, and the submission deadline is in January, and we'll notify in February. Questions about the graduate student grants? PhD students only. We haven't expanded this to other graduate degrees, so master students would not be eligible. We're really tying this to the dissertation research project. Yes?
Are there
Yes, there's a budget justification that has to be provided, and so there are different needs in different fields. There are certain things that are excluded. We don't buy equipment. We won't support a capital project. It's all listed on the RFP, what's included and what's not included. But at the same time, it is not a comprehensive list of every possible request anybody could make. So this is, again, another one of those instances where you should make your case for what you need to do the work that you're proposing to do. Yep. Okay. That was graduate student grants. And the last one, I think, on the list is community-engaged student travel grants. So these are available to undergraduate students for and graduate students and professional students for travel to participate, to enable participation in service learning or community-based research activities. They could be used to travel to a conference as well if the student were presenting their work at a conference. The limit is $750, and it's a pretty straightforward application process with justification for why you're going, what you're going to do there, and what the potential is for community impact. And there's a submission deadline of October 10th for winter break travel, because some students use this for travel to community-engaged work during the winter break, and also one in March for summer travel. So this is this application is similar to the graduate student application. These applications come from the students themselves. So when I was talking about the undergraduate research grant, I said that that's a faculty application. You have to be a faculty member to apply for that. You're going to be supporting undergraduate students with that grant. This one, the students apply directly for their own funding. So it's a different path.
So for example, if a student is engaged in a class that includes a trip abroad, mm-hmm. and they want to really use this opportunity of the travel abroad that is part of the course to write an honor thesis, but they really were not going to have time to in a quick 2-week trip. So they could apply to that in order to enhance their experience there, their experience in the trip associated with it.
I suppose they could. Yep. $750 is not a huge award, but I suppose that's possible. Yep. Yep. Other questions? Yes?
Are there travel grants for students, or is it just the only thing?
These are the travel grants for students that we have. This is part of the OCOF process, so international and engaged and WADI all went together into one sort of application process last year to try to simplify things for travel, for students to go abroad or travel domestically. You could be traveling in the state of New York and apply for one of these. But the applications are all due at the same time. And then during the process, they're kind of sorted out depending on what the student's asking to do, whether they're reviewed by international or by WADI or by engaged. We support we'll support international travel, but only if it's community engaged. If you're thinking about traveling internationally, but you're not going to have a community engaged experience as part of that, then your funding would come from international and not from engaged. It's a little confusing, but you should apply. Yeah. Ah, right. Thank you. Okay. This is another student program. This is the leadership certificate that is part of the effort in the Office of Engagement Initiatives. And this is an opportunity for students to pursue a certificate in leadership. So this isn't connected to a curriculum Now, well, anyway, it's not embedded in a curriculum. It can be connected to a curriculum. But it's really an opportunity for students to explore leadership in the context of community engagement. It's targeted at undergraduates. There are different levels of activity that students can participate. This has been modeled as a trip to the summit of a mountain, where you start out learning about community engagement and leadership, sort of getting oriented to what the goals of the program are. And then you start to think about community engagement in the second part. And there's training involved in stage two. And then in stage three, you start to commit to a community engaged activity and get mentoring established for that particular activity. And then at the last stage, you're really developing a project and executing a project and helping to mentor students who are junior to you, who are just getting started. So this is a student mentorship structure as well, where the more experienced students are helping the less experienced students get started. This is just getting off the ground this semester with lots of information sessions for undergraduate students who are interested. It is operating in partnership with these other leadership programs that I mentioned earlier, so athletics and outdoor ed and leadership programs within the colleges. Engineering has a leadership program. All of these organizations are meeting together and talking about shared interest and shared need. And students may be having experiences in those organizations that they bring to this. But the lens that we put on this leadership experience is community engagement. So it's an opportunity for students to learn and understand community engagement in the context of developing leadership skills. And then finally, some programming that we offer. First of all, there's an institute. Pilar, this might be of interest to you. Faculty Institute on Community Engaged Learning and Teaching. This is sort of a total immersion, get your feet wet kind of experience in May that lasts for 2 days, that's run by staff in the Office of Engagement Initiatives. There's also a Community Engagement Staff Institute that we ran for the first time last year, and staff from all over campus were invited to participate. It was just terrific, really great turnout and great participation. And then there are workshops and consultations that will be set up by the staff to try to answer questions that are particular to your work or maybe your working group. And those opportunities are described on the website. And Anna, I'm talking about Anna Bartel and Amanda Whitman again here, for faculty consultations, they are willing to set up meetings with you to talk with you about your interests and help you think out loud about what you're imagining. Very happy to do that kind of consultation. So their information is also on the website. That's it. So I'm happy to try to answer any other questions. You guys have been great about answering questions as we go along. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that is, Kate Supron is here. She's our liaison with Cornell Cooperative Extension. And that is a recognition of our belief that one of our greatest partners in all of this work that we aspire to do is Cornell Cooperative Extension. So we piloted a program last year. We had a couple of grants that we funded for student summer projects. This year, we're taking a slightly different tack where we recognize that we've got, I don't know how many I just went through there, 9 different opportunities. And probably any project that anybody in Cooperative Extension or a faculty partner with Cooperative Extension could cook up would probably fit in one of those mechanisms. So what we're doing is Kate's facilitating relationship development with extension associations and different faculty and staff here on campus, and then helping them to see their way into one of these funding mechanisms to put an application in.
And I'm also happy to work it from the campus side. So if you have an idea and you think, gosh, it seems like this should work with extension, you can come to me and we can talk about the idea, and I can then help you find the right partner within the extension system out there. So it can go both ways. But people are bringing forth some, the executive directors and associations are bringing forth some really exciting and diverse ideas that they're looking to do. And what we had found looking at the mechanisms from last year and the partnerships with extension is that at least 70% of the projects were not through the specific extension mechanism. So 70% of the formal relationships funded by Engage Cornell that involved extension were the main mechanisms that Judy just discussed. If something doesn't work within one of those, we have a little flexibility to still get a project going with extension.
What's the amount of money?
If it's a partnership with extension, it would depend. If it goes to a curriculum grant, it's whatever is in the curriculum grant. And so on and so forth. If it were the mechanism from last year, they were about $20,000, and they were two of the three placed students in associations doing community engaged research, I could say, over the summer, and one of the projects will take place this spring, and that's through a course, an existing course at Cornell that's going to partner with Boone County Extension, looking at food insecurity and hoping to address a strategy group for them.
And I'll just mention that one of our goals is to introduce cooperative extension associations to Cornell units outside of the contract colleges. So this funding is independent, our funding is independent of the funding that supports Cornell Cooperative Extension. So we're hoping to introduce extension associations to faculty that they might not automatically meet by way of their linkage, their strong linkage to the contract colleges. And I think Kate's already done that, introduced a couple of different associations to faculty in engineering. And so there really is a breadth of interest there. And their extension associations also work with other organizations. And so there are networks and networks.
Some of them are, the project ideas they're bringing forth are with their county planning department, or with the soil and water department in the county, or with nonprofits in their community. So it's really, we're trying to see it on both sides as a doorway that they can, extension can help you find partners in the community beyond their own association.
Other questions?
Yeah, that's the one that I wanted to hear about, because I have been working with extension, trying to find ways they reach hard-to-reach populations. Like Hispanics or immigrants, right?
Yeah.
And well, so I have been working with them, but now I'm promoting 4-H among children of immigrant families.
Sure,
and
sure.
This is coming very handy.
Well, I will give you my card, and I'm also happy to come and meet with you at your convenience.
Yeah,
so
sure. I got a lot of
okay.
Person
yeah.
to see.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Person to see.